It's football at four. Here's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
I always love football at four because it's like, here's more football. At least when I'm on. Cecil Lammy, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, sitting in. And you've been writing about football for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Covering the Denver Broncos with Mike Shanahan.
I did,
covering Air Force football.
Did that, yep.
Covering the NFL in its entirety for Yahoo Sports now, Frank. How frustrating it is when you get response emails, strongly worded letters, or tweets about a headline and not the actual article. Yeah. How frustrating is that?
Scale of 1 to 10, it's like 46.
Okay.
You know, somewhere in there. Yeah, because, yes, I everything you are trying to tell me that I don't understand, actually, I wrote many words about this and took time out of my day.
Yes or actually, you and I would agree on this opinion.
Had
but you just read the headline and not the piece, which just happened this last week at 1043thefan.com, and it was an internet storm because I merely asked a fair question. Has Philip Lindsay peaked? When you hear that question, where does your mind go?
It tells me that you don't know what you're talking about and I should get on the internet and complain about you ripping Philip Lindsay. How could you do that, hater? How could you do that?
Right. He's the greatest. Yes. And I even said multiple times within the piece, like, I believe in Philip Lindsay.
You did. It was a great piece. People should go read that. I read it. It was great. Very many, very good, logical arguments. But I'm just going to complain about the headline, right? Like,
right.
That's what I
do. Well, I always love when people are like, how many other people have peaked after their brilliant rookie year? I'm like, oh, my God. How much time do you have?
Yeah, right? Like, RG3. It's the RG3 award.
That's the first one I thought.
By the way, Andrew Mason, our good friend, said that he had a good one on Twitter. Mike Kroll. Because somebody posted that. Who peaked in their rookie year?
Right.
It wasn't about your story. It was like a couple weeks ago. Mike Kroll, who old Broncos fans remember.
Yeah, it does happen.
It does happen.
So I don't think it's unfair to ask the question, do you think... And I painted it like this, like they should use him differently. He should still have the same amount of yards, but if Royce Freeman had 1,000 yards and Philip Lindsay had 900 yards on the ground, I think that might work out pretty good.
Absolutely.
Now, Philip Lindsay should also have 500 yards as a receiver. You know, I want as much Philip Lindsay as possible, but use him the right way. Manage him the right way. Don't smash him up between the tackles 250 times. I don't think that's a recipe for success for him or for the Broncos.
Right. You brought up a good example that it brought me back, and I didn't think it was 14 years ago. It makes me feel old now. But the Tatum Bell Mike Anderson duo, very different backs.
You covered that team.
Yes, I did. Very good team. The one that lost to the Roethlisberger and Steelers in the AFC Championship game that basically ended the Jake Plummer era because they lost trust in him after that. But I thought that those two backs, it was a great example of you can have two totally different backs, use them in totally different ways, and have a very, very good duo. I can see something like that happening. And now that would mean Philip Lindsay's not really the guy anymore, but that's okay. You can win more football games that way. You can keep Philip Lindsay fresher. He could be more efficient, even though he was fantastically efficient last year. But that kind of thing can work. We've seen that happen a ton of times in the modern NFL. You need more than one back.
Right.
So I get exactly what you're saying. I do in that way.
And I think based on his size, and that's always going to be the same. It's not like he's going to get larger.
No.
His frame's maxed out.
Yeah.
Based on the wrist injury, which, training camp starts July 17th. I will go out on a limb and say that I don't think Philip Lindsay is going to be a full participant on July 17th. Now, if you tell me if it's August 1st, okay. If you tell me if it's August 15th, okay. Philip Lindsay will be fully participating then.
Some point,
but
yeah.
But I personally believe that he's not doing anything with that hand. That hand, the fingers touched his forearm. That was a significant injury.
It was bad.
And to this day, he's still wearing a brace. He's like you over there with your broken finger. The finger.
Indeed.
You're like Ricky Bobby over there. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Indeed. So what role, you'd written about this, but I do want to have a discussion about it. What role do you think Philip Lindsay is perfect for?
James White.
Okay. Patriots running back on Wisconsin. Gotta throw it. I'm glad I got that in today.
It only took an hour and five minutes.
I'm glad I got that in today.
Frank Schwab went to Wisconsin, people. Did you know that?
If you've met me for 2 seconds, you know that and that I went to high school at Tiger Woods. Those are the two things you know about me instantly. So, but anyway, I could see that. But do you think the Broncos see it that way? Because they just saw Philip Lindsay have a Pro Bowl season playing a certain way that they didn't necessarily expect. But now, wow, this kid really had a great year doing that. Can they scale that back and to give Royce Freeman more of that work? I don't know. What do you think the Broncos are thinking about this?
They're thinking get Phillip Lindsay healthy and use him up.
Yeah.
It's a cold-blooded business. That's what you're thinking. But I'm also thinking Royce Freeman's not a slappy. Royce Freeman's a damn good back.
He got hurt. As you pointed out in that article, I read the article, he had a high ankle sprain. There are so many injuries in the NFL you can get over in a couple weeks, mm-hmm. or you can play through it.
Unless you're Leonard Fournette, then you can't play through anything. He's like a pitcher. I hate to bag on your sport, Major League Baseball.
I love Major League
Baseball. But, I got a hangnail. I'm Leonard Fournette. I can't play.
Oh, boy. Here we go. That's about all the baseball talk we're going to get today. Anyway, but high ankle sprains, you can't play through. Weeks after, you are still hurting. Right. It affects you
all
season.
And he tried to come back from it.
And he tried, and credit to him for his toughness in that. But he wasn't going to be the same guy. We haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
What we saw from Royce Freeman in the preseason, that could carry over. We saw some great runs from him. We saw him be very explosive. I can see him being that guy. Anybody who's kind of given up on Royce Freeman a little bit, No. You're right. He is not a slappy. There's a reason he was taken where he was. I think he could be a very good back for them.
You know who my number 9 back last year was? Phillip Lindsay was my number 10.
I know.
Back.
I know he's your number 10. I do not know number 9.
Royce Freeman.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Two top 10 backs.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great combination.
I do too. Because they bring totally different things
and
to the
table. And they have to use them both. If they use them both.
Here's a question that flummoxed me. Why didn't Phillip Lindsay?
I love the word flummox.
I know. That's the biggest word I'm going to use today. Why didn't the Broncos use Phillip Lindsay like James White? He only caught 35 passes last year, targeted 47 times.
Yes,
I believe
you read
in your article, the actual words of your article. Why didn't I kept expecting more. I mean, and this is just to go off the reservation a little bit. Fantasy football wise, I had him in PPR leagues, and I thought he was going to be a monster, right? He's going to catch 70 balls. That's the kind of back he's going to be.
Right.
And he never became that. Why not? Is there something that he wasn't doing that they didn't trust him in that role, or they just needed him in the role he was playing? I can't figure out why they didn't use him more in the past.
I really love Bill Musgrave. I do. I love Billy Moose. I don't know what he was trying to do last year.
No,
things worked out so well with him with Derek Carr that one year for the Raiders.
It really did.
And it's then he got here and he didn't know how to use Royce Freeman the right way, which is wide zone. He didn't really use Philip, and I asked him about him being Warwick Dunn,
mm-hmm.
because Bill Musgrave coached Warwick Dunn when Warwick Dunn had 1,400-yard season.
He was 30. He was so good.
He was so awesome. So, okay, if he's Warwick Dunn, he's going to play 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
If he's Tatum Bell, he's going to play 4 years. I don't
Which
think he's Tatum Bell.
Backs,
yeah, but I don't think he's Tatum Bell.
No.
I don't think he's Warwick Dunn. But he's
somewhere
in between.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So get him 7 great years and call it good.
Right. It's crazy to me how he was catching, 2.5 passes a game? Mm-hmm. He should be a guy catching about 5.
Right.
More. I mean,
right.
If it's James
You're
White, he can catch 10 some days. You know?
You're going to get him in space. There's not going to be much punishment on him. I think it's going to be a better way to use him. He's still going to be productive. He's still going to be phenomenal. You're still going to rock the jerseys.
Right. It's just in a different way. You get him the ball different ways. And he's a smart guy. He can figure out different ways to play from the slot. You can detach him from the formation. You can move him around. I agree with you. It'd be better radio if I was disagreeing with you wholeheartedly. But in this way, I do. I think that you can still use him, get him as many touches and yards as he got last year, but in different ways where your offense is going to be a little more dynamic.
Right. So it's still the yardage. I think we should look at all-purpose yards. Warwick Dunn in 12 years had 11 years where he had over 1,000 all-purpose yards.
It was so good.
I know.
It was so good.
I know. And the one year he didn't have 1,000 all-purpose yards, it was 900.
I had to do math.
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah, and he weighed 188? I think he was in that, between 180, 190. Unbelievable player. And who knows? Phillip Lindsay might be that guy. There's just certain guys out there, just football players are freaks. How could Warwick Dunn have lasted 12 years with that workload? You look at his workload, he was getting 270, 240. His carries were through the roof, really.
Right.
And he played every year. He was great every year.
In a different game, a more physical game, larger defensive players. Because defenders are smaller now.
Yep. The boxes are much lighter now because you got safeties basically playing linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Your Darius Leonard's of the world playing
Kareem
linebacker.
Kareem Jackson's playing linebacker.
Yes. So maybe Phillip Lindsay is that kind of guy. I don't know, but I agree with you. I think our offense would just be more diverse, more dynamic. You could do more different things. You could create different problems for defenses if you had Lindsay and Freeman kind of playing different, completely different roles.
And I sum up the article. I will read it for you. And at the very end, I ask the question, is Phillip Lindsay peaked? Time will tell, but I'm not betting against him.
Yeah.
I remember last year when I was saying he's James White. And all the scouts I talked with the Shrine game where Philip Lindsay was, he's James White. Good player, James White. When he was doing more than that, and people were like, hey, he can do more. I was like, you know what? I didn't project that, but I'm not going to bet against him.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those guys.
You know, is he going to be a 1,500-yard back? I don't think so. Not on the ground. But I'm not going to bet against him.
There's no 1,500-yard backs anymore.
Not really.
I can't remember who.
It's different.
Yeah, I think Kareem Hunt two years ago was like 1,300, led the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Your offense can be dangerous if you have this one asset. Do the Broncos have it, or is it a false idol? That's next.
Now back to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Cecil Lammy, Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports sitting in for Tom Nalen and Darren McKee. You know him as D-Mac. You love him as D-Mac. And what I'd love is if the Broncos had a tight end that was worth a damn. You can go back to Julius Thomas. And even though I discovered Julius Thomas at the Shrine game.
I remember that. I remember you telling me.
It was a lot of Peyton Manning and not as much on JT.
A little bit. Yeah.
You know, saw that when he went to Jacksonville and Miami. But is Noah Fant that guy? Is Noah Fant a player, one that Broncos fans aren't really hyping up enough? Like, we talk more about Drew Lock than we do Noah Fant. And I think that's backwards.
Well, considering they drafted him 22 picks higher. Yeah. I mean, this is the kind of guy. I believe if you have this kind of guy in the modern NFL, it changes your offense. A guy who can detach from the formation. The old days of, you know, the tight end being the blocker and he may go out for a 5-yard out. No. You need the Gronkowski types, the Kelce types, the Ertz types. You line them up in the slot. You can line them up as X-ISO. You can really do things to stress a defense. He is exactly that guy. And as you were talking about JT, I was trying to think, I covered the Broncos throughout basically the decade before that. Is Shannon Sharpe the last great tight end they've had?
Yes.
Like, really? Like, yeah. That was 2003 was his last season. So my first year covering the Broncos. It's been a long time. Like, you know, you're in a division where you saw, I know he's gone now, but Jared Cook had a great year at the Raiders last year. Kelce. We've seen Antonio Gates for decades, and they have another Hunter Henry coming up. Why haven't the Broncos been able to get this kind of guy? I do think he is this kind of guy. I'm a Big Ten guy. I watch a lot of Big Ten football. It's crazy that Iowa had these
two
guys.
You went to Wisconsin.
I went to Wisconsin. I didn't know you knew that. I've never mentioned it. But, yes, Iowa had these two great tight ends, and I think Fant is perfect for what the Broncos really need. I mean, a lot of talk goes into who's your number three receiver, who's your number two receiver. The way tight ends are used now, he can be that guy. He's not really your tight end. He's more of a receiver weapon. I think he's a perfect pick. To move down, I know they gave up the shot at the linebacker there, but to move down and get him where they did, perfect pick. I think it can change their offense.
I will be doing projections for all NFL offensive players, and I feel comfortable in putting the number at 50 catches for Noah Fant. Is that wrong?
That'd be great. It'd be great for a rookie tight end. I wonder as I sit here,
Ingram had like 65, and I think he's Evan Ingram.
Mm.
And I know Joe Flacco, who in 2017, his last full year as a starter, made Ben Watson a 60-plus catch tight end.
With
37-year-old Ben Watson.
With Ingram, it was a Odell Beckham injury year. Mm-hmm. I think they had a ton of injuries. Yeah. At one point, Evan Ingram was the only guy Eli could throw
to. Was Emmanuel Sanders going
to
be himself week one? Right, or is it right. Cortland Sutton and Noah Fant?
I was going to say, like, who else is really taking catches away? 50 is aggressive because tight end is one of those positions. There's certain positions we just know rookies can come in and play right away. Running back, Philip Lindsay, he can come in and play.
You're not going to throw four passes a game. I'm doing math. Don't make me do math.
I know.
Damn
right?
It. But you're not throwing four passes? You're not having four catches a game for Noah Fant?
You should. You should. You should be. As long as he picks up the offense well enough. But tight end is one of those positions that's just not easy for guys to get right away. It usually takes them a year or two. So 50 this year? Maybe. I can see it because he has that type of talent. It would be aggressive. I think if he did get 50, like you're saying, if he got into the 60s like Evan Ingram, I think then at that point you say that was a home run pick for John
Howell.
Great pick.
Because
he's going to be good.
He's going to be connected to Devin Bush for the rest of his career, and Devin Bush can be a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the Steelers?
I don't think we talked about that. What did you think of the trade down?
What did I think of the trade down?
Yeah, what did you think of the trade down?
I think they should have got more.
Okay.
You had the Steelers bent over a barrel. You had the Steelers. Yeah. You had them back in a corner, whatever old saying you want to use, right?
We're old, man.
Right.
We could use them.
Right. So you had them in a... They wanted Devin
Their
Bush.
Their feet were to the fire.
Make them pay.
Yeah, okay. But would you have rather
had them take Bush? Remember the Titans? Leave no doubt.
Would you have rather had them stay at 10 and take Bush or trade down and take Fant? I'm totally with Fant because I think you need to...
I don't think they got enough.
That's fine. But I still think the move down itself was smart because I think at some point you need the dynamic playmaker in your offense. You need to get these guys. You need Sutton to advance. You need Hamilton to be
very good. Why not get Jay Sternberger, who's
going to
be a weapon for your Packers?
It could have gone that route too, but I think that this was the brand name guy. I think this was a fantastic pick. When they made it, I was like, yes, that is what the Broncos haven't had since 2003.
If you're going to move to 20, I think they got lucky. And they had four players in my top 50 in their first four picks. Mm-hmm. It was unusual to get that many in the first three rounds.
Yeah.
But I think they were lucky that Dalton Risner was there at 41. I think they were lucky that Noah Fant was there at 20. So if you're telling me you can move down to 20 and still get Noah Fant, I don't believe you, but they did it.
They did.
that's a good pick. I just think you could have stuck it to Pittsburgh a little bit more.
Yes, and I think that's a different conversation. But I'm fine with them passing on the defensive player there, especially at a devalued position, let's say, inside linebacker.
Right.
We're both old school guys, but we have to understand Mike Singletary's not walking through that door anymore. Like that position has changed so much that I would rather have my Travis Kelce, my Hunter Henry, get the guy who you can use in different ways. Your chess piece tight end. And I think he's totally that. He's not a blocker. He's not going to knock your socks off at the line of scrimmage. Not like Hockenson, who went to the Lions 13 picks earlier. I think this is a guy who move him around and say, all right, show me your hand, defense. How are you going to defend this guy? Because if you put somebody small on him, he's got no chance. You put somebody slow on him, we're going to take advantage of that too. I like this move. I think that, again, it's been 16 years since they've really had a tight end like this. And even Shannon at the end wasn't Shannon Sharp anymore. Very good. But they haven't had – I mean, Julius was in that role, and he had a great year, Peyton Manning fueled or not. I think that this was a perfect pick for them. I think he's going to be – I think he can change his offense.
He's already been making plays out at OTAs. I understand anytime you bring up anything positive from OTAs, people are like, oh, it's a practice, but you're out there in skirts or whatever. Like, all right, old man. But here's the thing. You want us to be like the reports about Lamar Jackson coming out? You read any of those?
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson can't throw. That's what's coming out of Ravens OTA. So do you want those reports? Or do you want me on these airways saying Noah Fant can play? Because I watched Noah Fant, eyes on Noah Fant, full practices for 2 weeks in a row, and that kid can play.
And here's the thing. If you make plays, if you're a first-round pick making plays in OTAs, that's great. But the opposite of that, I've experienced that. I covered the Packers. Ron Wolf's last draft, Jamal Reynolds. I believe he was a 10th overall pick. Defensive end out of Florida State.
Nice pull.
And we got into, it was training camp more than OTAs. We got into training camp where we're like, oh, my God, he can't play. Chad Clifton, their old tackle, it was like Velcro. He would just lock him up, and Jamal Reynolds couldn't move. And it was like, oh, my goodness, this was the 10th pick of the draft. He can't play. If you're out there watching Noah Fant, you're like, oh, my goodness, there's something's wrong with this kid.
Right.
He can't catch the ball. He can't get separation. I think that's the value in saying he's making plays in OTAs is we're not saying, oh, my goodness, did they make a mistake here? No. Clearly they haven't. Clearly, he's going to be a good player. Clearly, if they use him the right way, can be a dynamic guy in this offense.
So what happened over the last 2 years with the draft? Because Elway went from, can't make good picks.
Right.
Sorry, John.
Everybody loves this draft.
But, 2018, pretty damn good draft.
Yes.
2019, pretty damn good draft. Yes.
Everybody, my coworker Yahoo Sports, Eric at home, loved this draft. You love this draft. I think every national writer had the Broncos
within
the top six, seven grades. You know, I mean, they were everybody loves this draft. And last year's draft was fantastic.
So does the difference in the draft make a difference this year on the field for the Broncos to get back on the winning track? Does this one second year player need to be their best player? That's next.
There's never an off-season for talking Broncos.
Hey, if this all comes tumbling down, I'll be the first one to say, I was wrong. Elway should be fired. Sell the team.
Let's just
burn it to the ground now.
What would be the burn it result? 8-8? Is 8-8 burnt?
8-8's not good enough.
Wait. So are you firing John Elway after an 8-8 season?
Yep.
Wow.
Have to.
Dang.
Yeah,
really?
I need a complete ideology shift at that point.
Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. Yeah.
Crowd your plates this season with Polidori Sausage, Colorado's oldest family-owned sausage company and the official sausage of the Colorado Rockies. Find our all-natural sausages at Coors Field, your local Safeway, King Soopers, and City Market. Also now on Amazon.
Trent Tranny here from the Tranny Law Office. Have you or someone you know been charged with a DUI? There are circumstances where jail may be mandatory even for a first offense. We can help. Contact us immediately. 303-333-1816 or at TRANILaw.com.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue. Because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Have you heard about the new MVP in town, Rheem Pro Partners MVP? They're the heating and cooling contractors who have reached the top of the profession, the MVPs of HVAC. To be honest, they're not really new. The Rheem team of home comfort professionals has been the leader in Colorado since 1992. Right now, take advantage of Rheem and Xcel Energy rebates up to $1,800 on a high-efficiency heating and cooling system. Why settle for the second team? Choose the MVPs of HVAC and go to RheemProPartners.com and click on the MVP near you.
Shopping for windows and doors can be a drag. The options are overwhelming. The process, complicated. But it doesn't have to be that way. At Clear Ovations, we provide homeowners and contractors with the support they need to go from planning to executing their project. We understand that local building codes vary, and our experts have the knowledge to ensure that your project is following the proper requirements. Whether you're replacing, remodeling, or building from scratch, our experienced, customer-focused staff will be there to help. Clear Ovations carries a variety of high-quality brands that blend innovation and craftsmanship. With more than 70 years of experience in the building materials business, Clear Ovations is the premier source for windows and doors in Colorado and New Mexico. Clear Ovations, let us bring your dreams to life. Need a front entry door? Glenview Doors are in a class of their own. The right choice for wood, entry, and exterior doors. Glenview Doors, available now at Clear Ovations.
Hey guys, Mark Schlereth here for my friends at Xfinity. Let's talk a little bit about Wi-Fi. Not only does Xfinity XFi have the fastest, most reliable Wi-Fi on the planet, but they also have great controls. Pause your access to your home during dinner time so you guys can connect as a family. Set up a bedtime routine that restricts the access to the internet. Make sure that you put parental controls if the kids are coming over. Whatever the case may be, they make it easy to control your content. Switch to Xfinity today to get a limited time offer on Xfinity Internet for only $19.99 a month for 12 months with a 1-year agreement. And now through June 23rd, ask how to get $250 prepaid card when you switch to Xfinity Mobile and purchase an eligible phone. Go to Xfinity.com or call them 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store to learn more today. Internet offer ends June 24th, 2019. New performance starter internet customers only. Restrictions apply.
Baseball season's here, but as much as we love talking about Nolan's great catcher, Charlie's big homer, what matters most at 20th and Blake are those memories with your kids, with your family. Have a good time. Take pictures. Send them to us, because really, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan, strengthening families.
Denver Sports Snapshot.
Right now, the Rockies are playing the Diamondbacks at Coors Field. On ESPN Denver 1600, we have baseball all day, starting at 1:30. Indians versus Red Sox, followed by Mets versus Dodgers.
Snapshot, presented by Schomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
It's The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Well, happy Memorial Day. It's Cecil Lammy and Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. And looking at this young core, and it's a fascinating question, like what's different for the Broncos and the way they drafted? We'll maybe shelve that a little bit. But it's fascinating to consider what Cortland Sutton can be this year. I think he's ready to be the number one. I think even more than that, Frank, I think he needs to be the number one receiver. But can the kid do it in his second year?
I don't know. I had such high hopes. When they traded DT last year, you kind of thought, okay, here we go. Like, they kind of created the space for Cortland Sutton. Mm-hmm. Here's your chance, kid. and he was just okay. Like, there were moments. Like, you could see some plays, but you never saw the consistency.
You saw some drops.
You saw some drops. You saw some, you just kind of expected, okay, he's got this opportunity. There's no doubt, there's no ceiling on how many targets he's going to get. Just throw him the ball. But then it never really happened. And it's a little troubling, but I go back to, he was a rookie. There's still a lot of pressure on him.
And Case Keenum throwing him wrong.
Yeah, Case Keenum. Not that that really improves much with Joe Flacco, but hey, I kind of give him a little bit of a pass, but it was a little troubling. It was a little troubling that here's an opportunity on a golden platter, and to use a bad pun, he dropped it. You know, I mean, you want to see a little more. But I don't know. Do you feel like you saw enough from him in the good? Because sometimes with rookies, you just say, what did I see from you, the good stuff? Let's take out all the bad stuff for once. Did you play a level where you're like, wow, that guy is an NFL player? If I look at these 15 plays, I think you did see that from Courtland Sutton.
And
that gives me hope.
I saw about four drops on big plays.
Yeah.
So if he converts half of those, Eddie, like, now you're talking about significant upside and what you do and what all teams should do, but none of them do. Like, what Bill Belichick does is fantastic. And I hate the Patriots, so don't at me, bro. But what they do is what do you do good? Okay, we're just going to do that.
Yes.
What you do bad or can't do that really good yet, we're not going to have you do that. Mm-hmm. And with Courtland Sutton, we know it's getting deep. We know it's getting open deep. We know it's tracking passes over his shoulder and having late hands and getting out there and grabbing that ball at the last second. Pair him with Joe Flacco. Case Keenum was afraid of his own shadow. By my book. He was afraid of his own shadow, and if he made a mistake, he was never going to go downfield. He's never going to challenge defense. Joe Flacco doesn't care. It's why he was mean to me at the Senior Bowl. I hate bringing that up all the time, but yeah, Joe Flacco.
I forget this story.
What?
I don't. Go for it. I want to hear this one again.
This predates my Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I know that one well.
You know that one, Russell Wilson puffing up to me at the Senior Bowl. He's
shouting
to me, puffing up, little guy. No, Flacco, I asked him, like, hey, you don't feel pressure. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? No, I think it's a good thing, but I guess he didn't like my question.
Mm.
So he like cut off the internet. It was a TV interview, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, full TV camera, big HD camera and microphone. Hey, Joe Flacco was for Draft Guys TV.
Yeah, of course.
We never aired it.
Wow.
We never aired it.
I've never heard this. How have we gone? We've been friends for 15 years.
Right.
I've never heard this story.
Right,
amazing.
Right. So Joe Flacco didn't like me saying he doesn't feel pressure, but I think it's a good thing.
I can see that, yeah.
I think it's a good thing. And you know what else he doesn't? He doesn't care about making a mistake. He's going to fire it deep.
Yes.
And what's
Courtland Sutton That's do? The one thing he does.
Go deep.
Yes. And the one thing Joe Flacco, I can sit here and be kind of very nonplussed about him, but he throws a great deep ball. He's always been, that is always the number one club in his bag. He can always throw it deep. And so, yeah, this might be a great thing for Courtland Sutton. And we've seen, you know, Joe Flacco has done very well with that kind of alpha receiver before. Mm-hmm. You know, the Anquan Boldin days and the Ravens.
By the way, Courtland Sutton, as Nikki Javala pointed out in The Athletic, Courtland Sutton worked out with Anquan Boldin this offseason.
You talk about a guy who you want to model yourself after. Anquan, you could do a lot worse. And you can see a lot of, there are similarities. I'm not saying, like, Anquan Boldin maybe going to Hall of Fame someday, one of the toughest players ever. I don't want to put necessarily Courtland Sutton's the next Anquan Boldin, but you can see similarities. I mean, they're both big-bodied guys who can still get deep, can still make plays. I like the comparison, and I like the fact that when a guy is proactive like that, I'm going to go learn from the best. I'm going to go work out with the best. I'm going to go try to pattern my game after a guy like Anquan Boldin. That impresses me. I think Courtland Sutton's got a really, really bright future because, again, when you saw the good from him, it was NFL good. It was, okay, this kid can play. Let's give him a pass on the other stuff. There's a lot going on when you're a rookie. Not everybody steps into the league and dominates right away. Not everybody is a rookie.
You're not Randy Moss.
Yeah, not everybody. Like that. It's great when that can happen. Those guys are freaks, though. Most guys develop at a certain pace. And for a guy like Courtland Sutton, I'm willing to take a look at the highlights and say, that's an NFL number one receiver if he can do that for 16 games. And kind of give him the benefit of the doubt that he can do that consistently.
I complained about it last year on the airwaves. I'll complain again about it again today. Case Keenum is not a small window thrower. Like, Case Keenum, you need to be wide open, and he couldn't anticipate it. He needed to see it as a sight thrower.
Do you need to go to, like, therapy or something? Get
about
this all
Case
off
Keenum?
Your... Yes, this is, seems
no,
like
I
this
bought
is
his
better.
Book. His book's fine. You know, hey, chips are down. Keep your chin up.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. That's
Minneapolis
good.
Minneapolis Miracle. Let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing, like, Joe Flacco almost did a honey badger thing. Like, Joe Flacco doesn't give a damn. He's going to throw into that small window. Yeah, he's going to throw off his back foot. He's going to rifle it in there. And Sutton's got a little Plexico burst in him, meaning that if it's a more difficult grab, he can get it. If you put it right on his numbers, like maybe he'll drop it. But if it's a more difficult grab, he'll get it. Yeah. And I like that. And that's the thing. Like, Sutton can there's always a window for Cortland Sutton because he can sky. Mm-hmm. There's this big there's a big passing lane. It's called the sky. Throw it up. Let him go get it because that big man will bring it down.
Especially in red zone. That's where I think you really got to see him become a huge factor. Fant will be, you know, he'll be involved in that too.
Okay, Mr. You were what? Fluxumed? What did you say? Off play?
Flummoxed.
Fluxumed. Wow. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Hey. Flotsam and Jetsam. You were flummoxed about Joe Flacco.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't you remember last year, even when the Broncos played the Ravens, they were like 100% in the red zone. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? There's Joe Flacco leading the way, by the way. And I'm not defending Joe Flacco. He was mean to me at the Senior Bowl. And I need to go to therapy for that.
I really am. Wow.
But Joe Flacco had his team perfect for weeks in the red zone.
Yes.
Perfect. 100%.
Joe Flacco is very good at a few things. It doesn't translate to him being good at everything or above average as a quarterback overall, but he does some things well. Yes, he is a good red zone player.
Is this the whole Eddie Murphy throw a starving man a cracker? You know what I mean? Like, what's the best damn cracker I've ever had? Was it a saltine? No, that's a Ritz. That's a Ritz. So is that what we have here? I mean, because I'm defending Joe Flacco, which is a rare position for me, as you well know.
Yeah.
You're telling your truth about Joe Flacco, but
you're so
beat down from Case Keenum and Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch and Slappy 101. Like, these quarterbacks have been god-awful since Peyton Manning hung him up.
So you just want somebody who...
So now that I see Flacco, throw a pass that's pretty good, I'm like, wow,
look
at that. We got a real quarterback.
I just think there was no upgrade here. As much as you want to complain about Case Keenum, like, they're both guys. Like, it's... Maybe Joe is ready to have that first Pro Bowl season in his 12th year. Maybe this year. I don't know, but...
I've been saving the best.
Yeah, hey, wait till I get to Denver. I guess so. He can be a competent guy, but a lot of that does go into who are his targets. Is Emmanuel Sanders the same? Is Noah Fant an impact rookie? And is Cortland Sutton a real number one? I think these things do have to come together because you need a good supporting cast around Joe Flacco for him to be good.
Philip Lindsay recovering from a major injury. We'll see him sometime in training camp. I don't know if it's the very beginning of training camp. We'll continue that conversation. But when do we see Emmanuel Sanders, and can Emmanuel still be at his best? Our answer will most certainly surprise you next.
You are listening to The Drive with Tom Nalen and D-Mac.
Cecil Lammy and Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports sitting in for Tom Nalen and D-Mac today. Happy Memorial Day to you all out there in the Mile High City. Emmanuel Sanders coming back from his Achilles injury. Now, a week ago, out at Broncos OTAs, I watched Emmanuel Sanders as close as you and I are together. I was standing on the sidelines. He was running a sprint drill just by himself off to the side and looked like his speed was right on point. Now, just a straight line, granted, not making any sort of cuts. His speed looked legit, though. Like, it was back. Like, he was running as fast as he can. That was a good sign. But when can we expect him back? Is there any sort of concern that there's a delay in him learning chemistry or building chemistry with Joe Flacco because he's not practicing with the team right now?
A little bit. I mean, it's always ideal to get that chemistry going. I don't think it's not. I think that's overblown a little bit, especially when it's two vets like this. These are guys who have been through it, not together, but Flacco's played a ton of games. Emmanuel's played a ton of games. I think they can figure this thing out. The chemistry part of it doesn't worry me as much as just get him 100%. Get him totally healthy. This is a tough injury for receiver. We've really never seen a running back come back from this. Like, Achilles is basically a career ender for a running back. For receivers, we see it here. I've seen guys come back. But usually
Demarius
they're not
came back from it.
Yeah, Demarius came back from it. It was great after that. But usually when this happens to a receiver, you're just not the same anymore. And especially Emmanuel, is he 30 or 31?
31, I
think. Yeah, I think he's 31. You get to that point in your career, and it's the slightest, like you said, he looks just as fast as ever. but it may be imperceptible. You know what I mean? Like, you lose just a tenth of a percent or a tenth of a second off your 40.
Right.
You might not be able to see that, but NFL DBs know it. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where the NFL, you have to play at such a high level to be great. Any little drop off really affects your game. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Emmanuel. I'm just saying it's going to be a concern until we see him actually out there doing it.
Joe Flacco fed Steve Smith. I was like pronouncing it that way. He fed him quite a bit.
Sure did.
Like a little bit of resurgence there, or a lot of bit of a resurgence.
Yeah, great year.
There for
great
Steve year, Smith yeah. with Joe Flacco mm-hmm. and the Baltimore Ravens. And man, I hate Baltimore, but I love Steve Smith. Can Emmanuel be that?
Yes. Yeah, I think healthy. Yes. Because you look at who are the other options in the offense? I mean, somebody's going to get these targets. They're still going to throw the ball. If Cortland Sutton doesn't make that jump to be the number one guy, if he's still that inconsistent, dropping the ball too much, if Noah Fant struggles like most rookie tight ends do, I'm not saying that's going to happen. It's a possibility. If Deshaun Hamilton isn't some dynamo from the slot all of a sudden, you're seeing, okay, who's going to get the ball? Who's he going to trust? When Joe Flacco's back there and he's looking at all these options, he knows he can trust Emmanuel Sanders because he knows Emmanuel Sanders' reputation.
Right.
He's been this vet. He's going to lean on him a lot. I think that, yes, I think he could be a big part of this offense. I think he can have a great year, a Steve Smith-type year with Baltimore, as long as he's healthy, as long as that all comes together. But it can happen.
And notice how I say, think
Steve Smith came back from an Achilles, too, right? He played that one final year after his Achilles.
Yeah, he might have.
Because he was going to retire.
Brightman, check on that for us. I think Steve Smith did come back.
Going to retire, blew the Achilles, yes, and then came back. And then he was still pretty solid. He had some good games there, so it can happen.
Notice how I say Steve Smith and not Mike Wallace.
yeah. That's it's amazing how quickly these guys come and go in our lives. Like I was watching some of the America's games, the NFL Network replaying those.
Right.
And some of the guys you see are just like, wow, like Jake Ballard, the old tight end for the Giants, right? Like he made huge plays. I can recall his name on a dime. But yes, I think Emmanuel Sanders can still have a big impact. And he's gonna have to because I think they do need somebody reliable relying on all these other young guys.
What's funny is I was talking with our guy, Sigmund Bloom, about Daryl Bevel.
On Wisconsin.
There you go. Another one. And like, okay, well, where's tight end ever been successful? Like talking about TJ Hawkinson, Noah Fant's teammate from college. And Vasante Shenko came up. And I was like,
oh, wow.
Man, I totally forgot about Vasante Shenko. He had like 14 touchdowns that one year.
Yes. And there's these guys who just had the random oh, my goodness, I forgot about that guy.
Well, you're not going to forget about Emmanuel Sanders if he can come back healthy. Talk about steering the ship back on the road. There you go.
Professional move.
There you go.
What do you think is realistic?
Emmanuel Sanders could be that guy.
What do you think is realistic for him coming off the injury? The injury is such a big
70 catches.
I think so, but are we talking 70 catches at 9.5 yards a pop?
No.
I mean, I know he's never been that kind of guy, but you know what I mean? Like, how high is the ceiling there?
Well, and then factor in Flacco and the air yards per attempt for Joe Flacco, which have always been good because the guy likes to air it out. Yep. He's not a dink and dunk quarterback whatsoever. So I think that inflates Sanders' numbers. It inflates Cortland Sutton's numbers. I think as limited as their passing attempts are going to be, and I think it might be like 25 a game.
It's hard to win in the NFL that way. It is so hard to win in the NFL.
This is the way they want to win, though.
I know. And to me, that's you only play that way when you don't have the horses, to be honest. I think that there's a way you can win playing that way. We have seen teams do it. I know it's not dead. I know the Baltimore Ravens basically did it last year. But if you have the horses, if you truly believe in your team, you're in the modern NFL, you're not trying to play that way anymore. That was great in 1985, but I'm not trying to play that way in 2019 unless I have to.
Their defense can keep them in it, though.
Like you think the defense is still that elite? I don't know. I don't know if they're. I think we still hold on to this ghost of the 2015 Broncos, or even the 2016 Broncos. It's still a great defense,
right?
I don't think the 2019 defense is on that level anymore.
I think it can be better, not as good as 2015.
No,
obviously.
That was a legendary one.
But this can be better than anything that distracted Joe Woods had.
It can be better than
anything than that.
You'd hope.
And their defense, if you go okay, they're going to get more turnovers. You would think with Vic Fangio back there, that secondary is going to get pressure with the front seven. You would assume that your Kareem Jacksons, your Bryce Callahans, your Chris Harris's, like they're going to get some INTs. They're going to turn the field around for the Broncos offense. Like, I understand what you're saying. Like, and maybe 25's ridiculously low, like to make a point low. But he's not going to throw 50 passes a game.
No.
He's not going to throw 40 passes a game.
Because they don't have the guys for it.
Now, I looked at Nick Mullins' numbers from last year starting for the 49ers. The 49ers did not have good defense. 39, 32, 48, 33, 29, 38, 33. So just roughly average it. It's like 35 attempts a game.
Math. Well done.
Making me do it again. So does that sound more?
Yes. And yes, it's 25 is more
acceptable
like,
for you?
I'm playing with the 1976 Steelers. Let's throw 25 passes. Okay.
Okay. So he's 35 passes.
I think 35, it's at least reasonable. But again, you don't play that way unless you have to. And I think that's a little bit, I mean, when you're in a division with the Chiefs, we think are good. Maybe they regress, but they're still good. I think we both think the Chargers are going to be very good.
Chargers are the best team in the division.
I think so, too. When you're in division with these, can you play this limited way and win big still? I don't know that you can. It's tough. Everything has to go perfect. You have to have a top 10 defense at that point.
Yeah.
You have to have Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay rush for, right? Like, you can't. It's not a rookie tight end. Like, that, as good as Fant might be, he's not going to be that guy right away. So I think Sanders gets a ton. I think Lindsay's going to get a lot more. He should get a lot more. I want to see him in that role. I definitely want to see him.
One of the downfall of Bill Musgrave's offense, besides that he had Case Keenum running it, by my book, it was the fact that he didn't use Phillip Lindsay. I would ask and Bill Musgrave every week, like, you going to put him in the slot? Like, yeah, do you think that would be cool? Could Phillip Lindsay play from the slot? And he'd say yes, and then maybe he'd even do it. But he never did it enough.
And we've seen, and this is just, again, it's a modern NFL. This is the way the NFL has changed. Phillip Lindsay needs to be more of a chess piece. You need to move him around. You need to get him the ball in the passing game. This isn't like the olden days where it was crazy when Roger Craig was receiving for 1,000 yards. Like, no, you need a receiver like that out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, lining him up in the slot or whatnot. So, yes, Phillip Lindsay needs to get more targets for sure. Cortland Sutton needs to get
more. Use him like the way the Panthers use Christian McCaffrey as a receiver.
Yeah.
Because McCaffrey.
Oh, McCaffrey's a freak.
Did you see him bulked up?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you see him bulked up?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. He is, you know, he is a rock right now. He is. I was wrong about him. We argued about him when he was coming out for the draft.
Why didn't you like Christian McCaffrey?
Because I thought that they were overpaying for a guy who wasn't going to be a full-time back. And oh, my goodness, is he a full-time back?
Like, oh, yeah.
He is
and then some.
A 98%er. Like, he is out there every single snap and durable and fresh. And I was totally wrong. I didn't think he could fill that role. That was my mistake there. He is totally like that. And I'm not saying the Broncos have a Christian McCaffrey, but a Freeman and a Lindsay combined can be very, very good. But they're going to need that because they don't have, right now anyway, really a modern NFL offense. Like, they might do some things that are modern, but they don't have the horses for it.
This is what they want. This is what they want to. And I don't think they do stuff that's modern. I mean, I'm stuck in the 90s, right? I was driving in today.
Your rule of 18, whatever was cool when you were 18.
The rule of 17, yeah.
Whatever's cool when you're 17 is always going to be cool.
It's an old radio adage. Like, if you thought it was cool when you were 17 years old, you still think it's cool today, no matter how old you are. And I'm old. I was driving in the Jeep today. No top down because of the weather. But I was listening to Stone Temple Pilots. And I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm like, I love this. I love it. I love the 90s.
So you watch your football from 1991 and you watch your music from 1991. I get it.
That was like 95. But anyway, maybe it wasn't 92. But the Broncos are stuck in the 90s. And that's what they want to be.
Because, well, no.
Yes.
They want to be. I am sure they would want to be Patrick Mahomes throwing for 50 touchdowns.
Then why would you hire Rich Scangarello?
Well, because you don't have a Patrick Mahomes, because you don't have a Travis Kelce yet, and maybe Noah Fant is that guy, because you don't have a bona fide number one receiver yet.
Do you have a Matt Ryan? And what was Levine Tololo, top tight end that year? I mean, you don't have Julio Jones.
You don't have a Matt Ryan.
But
right now.
I'm thinking of Kyle Shanahan's offense. And when it was quite significant in 2016 when the Falcons went to the Super Bowl. Like, do you have that? Because this offense is stuck in the 90s.
Yes. But again, I think it's not because of the scheme.
But
as
this
much
offense
as they just know
can
what they
be.
Have.
And this is maybe where we disagree, but we agree. Mm-hmm. If you ride with me there, like, we disagree that, you know, the stuck in the 90s thing, but I think they are. But do they have the horses? Because the Falcons, they ran the same damn offense. And what, Matt Ryan was MVP, right?
Yeah. He was clearly MVP.
Yeah. So, okay, can the Broncos do that? Will the Broncos do that?
It depends. It's going to depend on...
Not MVP. Flacco's not MVP.
No. Can he make the Pro Bowl for the first time in 12 seasons, though? I'm just going to keep bringing that up.
Keep hammering that up.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's been 150 50-some starts, Joe. He could, or 63, sorry. He's 8 short of the NFL record for most starts by a quarterback without making one single Pro Bowl.
Okay, okay.
But can he be good? I think it just depends on the development of all the young guys. It depends on, can Courtland Sutton be a number one? Can Noah Fant be that 50-catch guy you think he can be? I think that's very aggressive, but possibly.
Okay.
And can a guy like Hamilton emerge and be a good, solid other option? Can Lindsey be a bigger-time receiver out of the backfield? All these things have to fit because Flacco's the kind of guy who needs the supporting cast around him to be very good. Can you win with a Joe Flacco? Of course, he has a Super Bowl ring, but he's not the kind of guy who's just going to transcend his talent. I think the talent around him needs to really improve.